Do it? Yeah, I think so. All right, Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to talk about Melchizedek this evening, but less about Melchizedek, more about Jesus Christ's priesthood. Melchizedek just happens to be the fellow that typifies his priesthood, and he shows up in Genesis 14. Not very much said about Melchizedek, but enough said that it warrants a whole chapter in Psalms about him, and or about Jesus Christ and his priesthood, and another entire chapter, really, in Hebrews chapter 7. And all of these chapters are describing the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And as we talked about in Sunday school, maybe to some of y'all's surprise, with Moses, he holds the office. Moses held the office of prophet to the nation of Israel, and really, as you know, Jesus Christ would be a prophet like unto Moses, and he would speak to God and then speak for God to the people. And a priest, in sort of the opposite sense, I guess, represents the people to God. And so Moses, prophet, Melchizedek, priest. So you got these two offices here. But Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, and then I'm going to show you Hebrews 7. We may go back and forth or just go to Hebrews 7 and show you something in Psalms as well. But this is Jesus Christ's priesthood. And it's typified in Melchizedek, who shares several characteristics with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see the phrase over and over in the Bible, after the order of Melchizedek, to describe Jesus Christ's priesthood. But let's read Melchizedek, read about him. Not very much really said of his life, just Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. The Bible says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all." This is after Abram at this time goes and defeats the kings and recovers the goods and recovers the people from the war with the kings there. And as he's coming back, Melchizedek, king of Salem, comes to meet him. And also the king of Sodom comes to meet Abram, but he has very different responses to each of these men. But Melchizedek, these are the verses that he occupies in the Old Testament, or at least in Genesis here. This is the only thing that's said about him in Genesis. And from these three verses, you're going to get a lot of information about Christ's priesthood. But let's pray. And I'm going to tell you some things about Jesus Christ's priesthood this evening. Father, I pray that you would help us this evening, help us with these verses that we're going to look at, and really, again, help us magnify Jesus Christ and the office that he occupies and the place he holds in creation, which is his creation. And I pray that you would use these verses that we look at to honor, to hold up Jesus Christ the way we need to. And thank you for each soul that's here. And for those that are watching, I pray that you'd bless them as well. And for those that are still fixing pipes and all those things, I pray that they'd get that done and be able to get the water restored and electric restored, and if that's still a problem. But I thank you that you've provided for us so well. And we just have a whole lot more than other nations around the world. And I thank you for taking care of us the way you do. I pray that we'd make the most of these opportunities that we have. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Jesus Christ's priesthood typified in Melchizedek. You got three verses about Melchizedek. He's the king of Salem. So he's a priest and a king. That ought to be something that kind of rings the bell there, a royal priesthood, which we'll talk about. What his name means, and what he brings out, what he says, the fact that he has no particular ancestry, that his priesthood is a voluntary priesthood. He wasn't born into it. You'll see that in Hebrews chapter 7, just like Jesus Christ's priesthood. But let's deal with several types of Jesus Christ's priesthood found in Melchizedek. I'm going to read these verses one more time, and then we're going to go over to Hebrews 7. And Hebrews 7 is a very, very elaborated description of Jesus Christ's priesthood from these verses. But here they are one more time. Genesis 14, verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. That's Abram giving Melchizedek tithes of everything that he got in the war there. So he gives him a tenth of everything. A tithe is just a tenth. He gives him a tenth of everything. It's not stated that he did that every year. He just did this one time, looks like. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, where the description is applied to Jesus Christ in a thorough examination of Jesus Christ's priesthood is set out here. Hebrews chapter 7, first thing about Melchizedek's priesthood that we'll make note of here, his name means righteousness. That's Melchizedek's name means righteousness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation," here it is, "king of righteousness." Melchizedek, king of righteousness. And if you want to break down the word, the Mel, M-L-K, or the Mel-K, whatever, Melk is the king part, the Sadek is the righteousness part, but his name means righteousness. Just like Jesus Christ's priesthood is a priesthood of righteousness, and Jesus Christ's name is righteousness. You don't have to turn to it, because I don't want you to have to go to so many verses this evening. I'm just going to read this one to you. But in Jeremiah, a couple times in Jeremiah, the Lord is called righteousness. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23:6, "In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." So God is a God of righteousness, and that is, if you wanted to, I guess, break it down, that is the currency in God's economy, righteousness. I think I mentioned the verse this morning where he says, it's in Proverbs, I just mentioned part of it, but it says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath." The last part of that verse is, "But righteousness, I think he says, delivereth from evil," something like that. Righteousness is the currency in God's economy. And Jesus Christ is righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. His name is righteousness, according to Jeremiah. And just like Melchizedek's his name is King of righteousness. So here's a priest who is also a king, and he is the king of righteousness. So that's a good start. Jesus Christ is the king of righteousness. He is the Lord our righteousness. Then the next thing is, along with this kingly part that we mentioned a while ago, Melchizedek is not only the priest of the Most High God, but he's the king of Salem. Which is, Salem is peace. And just like, I don't know, in Hebrew it's like Shalom, peace, you know, Salem. Solomon's name was peace. It's a variation of that. And so Melchizedek is a priest and a king. Does anyone have any idea where you might find a similarity there in the Bible? What, Shirley? He's priest and king, and he has a royal priesthood. So look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll show you this royal priesthood. He has a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Just like Melchizedek, in his priesthood, he has a royal priesthood. Jesus Christ has a royal priesthood. He's a priest who has a kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. let's read it. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This is those who are saved by Jesus Christ. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is neat. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. There you go. So that's the distinction. Righteousness is a war against the lusts, against that battle for your soul. And he is a king. Jesus Christ is a king and a priest. Melchizedek is a king and a priest. If you're in Jesus Christ, you too are part of a royal priesthood. If you're in Jesus Christ, if you're not, you're not part of that. You're still in darkness and all that kind of thing. But his priesthood is a royal priesthood. In Romans, he said this. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." He said, "That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. At least right now, that's the kingdom." So there's a royal priesthood. You got a priest whose name is righteousness, Melchizedek. Jesus Christ, a priest whose name is righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. Number two, he is a royal priest. He's a king and a priest, just like Jesus Christ is a king and a priest. And then back over in Hebrews, go back over to Hebrews chapter 7 and see a few other things about this priesthood. It's a perfect priesthood. And it's perfect because, unlike the Levites, let me ask you all this, get you all's participation in this. How did a person become a priest under the law in the Old Testament? How did you become a priest? You're born into it. Yeah, you just had to be born into it. So your first birth, if you're a Levite, then you don't have any choice. You're just a priest. That's your job. That's where you fit in the scheme of things. This priesthood is not by birth. Melchizedek wasn't born into the priesthood. It's a priesthood by choice. Look in Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 15. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment. That is, if you're a Levite, you're a priest. That's the carnal commandment. But after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. Because this was just a carnal law. For the law, here it is, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch, here it is, And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, meaning they were just born into it. They didn't choose it. They just, if you were Levite, you're in it. But this man, with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. So a couple of things there. The first part of this perfect priesthood is, it is an office entered into by choice, not by birth, at least not physical birth. And this was the thing that was so shocking, really, to Israelites, that you couldn't be born into God's favor. It was a spiritual matter. You couldn't be born into the nation, obviously, had favor from God, but personally, you couldn't be born right with God. Your first birth didn't make you right with God. Like he says to Nicodemus, y'all know the story in John 3. And so this priesthood that God set up under the law and with Moses and with the Levites, it was just a carnal priesthood, and the men would serve from basically 30 years old to 50 years old, and then they would retire from the priesthood. And that was their priesthood. And then eventually they would die. And so they couldn't be priests for sure after they died. So the service in the tabernacle was, look like it's from 30 to 50, and then they do other priestly things after that, but the hard work part of it came at that point in time. And eventually they died, but obviously Jesus Christ, he chooses this priesthood that he enters into, just like Melchizedek chose the priesthood he entered into. You're not told anything about Melchizedek's heritage. You don't know who his mom and dad are. You don't know where he came from. And that's for a reason. In Hebrews 7, he points it out. He says he's having neither, verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. None of that stuff's recorded with Melchizedek. But made like unto the Son of God abideth the priest continually. So that's Melchizedek's genealogy. You don't know anything about it, because it's irrelevant to his priesthood. It doesn't have any effect on whether he's a priest or not. He's the priest by choice. He chose this life. Just like Jesus Christ, he chose to be a mediator between God and man. He chose the sacrifice, his own sacrifice. He chose the life he lived. He chose those things. And he's a priest not by first birth. He's a priest by choice, just like Melchizedek. So, along those lines, Jesus Christ, he's not from a priestly family. He's not from Levi, which Hebrews 7 says that, obviously. But he would become a priest because of an oath, like we just read. I'll just read this to you. You know the verses in Philippians, but here's the choice Jesus Christ made. The Bible says, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. This is the part of the perfection of the priesthood. It was by a willful offering, willingly offered by choice. Jesus Christ does this. And so his priesthood is better than one that you're just born into. Because, you know, people who are born into things, they may not do so well with the stuff they're born into. Somebody may, you know, it's not their choice. They just happen to be born into it. And maybe it's money. Maybe it's, you know, an inheritance or something like that. And it's just not a perfect setup. However, someone chooses to be a priest, they choose this life. That's what Jesus Christ did. That's different. That's a willing offering. That's a willing, a choice they made. So the perfect priesthood happens by choice, by an oath, by an offering. It also is perfect because Jesus Christ, he after his resurrection, he never dies. So his priesthood never expires. It doesn't have an expiration date. And so when these Levites would die off, obviously their priesthood is done. They can't serve anymore as priests. They're dead. But Jesus Christ lives forever. His priesthood is never ending, what you just read there. In verse 23, he says, "And they truly," Hebrews 7:23, "they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood." So it just lasts forever. Here's another one. So you got, his name is righteousness, just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's priesthood is a royal priesthood, is a king and a priest, just like Melchizedek was. Jesus Christ's priesthood is a perfect priesthood, just like Melchizedek was. And eternal, which we dealt with just now here. Let's keep reading. Verse 25, along with this eternal priesthood. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, because he lives forever, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So his promises are good because he never dies. He's alive forever. "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have an infirmity." So there's a, I'll explain that in a minute. "But the word of the oath," that was the choice, the covenant, "which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore." So under the law and the Levitical priesthood, this is the comparison that's being made, in the Levitical priesthood, it was expected that men who occupied that office would be sinners. It was expected that men who were in this position were going to have to cleanse themselves. They were going to have to make their own sacrifices. They were going to have to... They were going to just be sinners. And that was expected. But in Jesus Christ's priesthood, he's not a sinner. And that's not expected in his priesthood. In fact, what's expected in his priesthood, or the willing offering he makes in his priesthood, is that he dies for sinners. Not that he is a sinner who needs to be cleaned up. He is in place of and dying for sinners. So it's an eternal priesthood. Look back here in Hebrews chapter 7. Earlier on here, he said this in verse 3 of Melchizedek. He said, "Without father, without mother," you have no information of his genealogy, Melchizedek's genealogy, "without descent," he didn't come from any line of priests, "having neither beginning of days," you don't know when he was born, "nor end of life," there's no record of his death. It doesn't mean he didn't die, but there's no record of his death. "But made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." That's Jesus Christ's priesthood, just like Jesus Christ's priesthood. "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils." So if there was a man who was greater than Abraham in the Old Testament, that man was Melchizedek. And so Abraham takes the spoils of war and offers Melchizedek a tenth of it. And so he is, by nature of that transaction, Melchizedek is a greater man than Abraham is. And in Hebrews 7 here, Melchizedek is just a great type of Jesus Christ. He's a greater man than Abraham. And you see all the comparisons here. So 1, 2, 3, 4 things. In Hebrews 7 is just all about this comparison of Jesus Christ's priesthood with Melchizedek's priesthood. You've got the fact that Melchizedek's name means righteousness. Jesus Christ's name is righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. His priesthood is a royal priesthood, just like Melchizedek is a king of Salem. And a priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek's priesthood, you could say, is a perfect priesthood in the sense that it was entered into by choice. He doesn't have any heritage or lineage that says you have to be a priest. He chose that life for himself. And then his priesthood is eternal. Jesus Christ's priesthood is eternal. Melchizedek, there's no record of the end of his priesthood and anything like that. And that's for a very specific reason, because it's a typology of Jesus Christ's priesthood. So four things there. And just as a point of study, just as a point of note here, this is Jesus Christ's priesthood. And I'll show you one other place that shows up. You got Genesis 14, you got Hebrews 7, and look over in Psalms 110, and we'll read this and wrap it up for the evening. This is the other place that Melchizedek shows up in Jesus Christ. And it has to do with, again, a king and a priest and the return of Jesus Christ. And it says this. This is one of the psalms the Lord uses when he shuts the mouths of the Pharisees. Psalms 110, all seven verses. It says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That is God the Father talking to Jesus Christ. "The Lord said to my Lord." That's David who writes this, and David's talking about his Lord, my Lord. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning," willing, that's part of this priesthood. "Willing from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath." Remember when Melchizedek met Abraham? Is after a battle with kings. That's what he's talking about. I mean, that's a reference. This is talking about Jesus Christ, but interesting correlation. "The Lord," verse 5, "the Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." There's Jesus Christ's royal priesthood, his return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his priesthood goes on and on and on and on. So there's some good typology there, and so hope that's helpful. Just some study material for tonight. Genesis 14, just keep those in mind. Genesis 14 is where Melchizedek shows up. He is a type of Jesus Christ's priesthood. In Psalm 110, he shows up again. In Hebrews 7, it's all sort of explained and laid out there. So let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Little study this evening just about the priesthood of Jesus Christ and the comparison really to Melchizedek. And just showing the weakness of the Levitical priesthood and where it fell short in areas, but not Jesus Christ's priesthood. There's nothing in his priesthood that falls short at all. And thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words. And I pray this is helpful. Just if nothing else, learn our Bibles, but to exalt Jesus Christ more and know more about him and appreciate him more. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.